This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast. Family Matters.
On Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
We know distance learning is coming to an end, but looking ahead to August, September, starting secondary school can be daunting, even for the most confident of children. Matt Greenwood is on the line. He's the primary principal at Fairgreen International School, sharing his top tips for parents supporting their child through this transition, and also what we can be doing over the coming weeks and month to best prepare them. Hi, Matt, how are you? Or Mr. Greenwood, should I call you?
Matt's fine. Thanks, Helen.
I'm slightly scared of teachers, I think. can I ask you, as a parent, I'm in the last week of distance learning. A few other schools have finished maybe a week or so ago. What's happening with you guys at Fairgreen?
Yes, we're in the last week of distance learning this week, and we're doing a lot of work at school with the children to prepare them, obviously, for some farewells and for an ending, which is very important, but also preparing them to look at the summer break. And so they've got some idea about how we're going to restart again on August the 30th.
August 30th. It's got a massive heart on my calendar. My 2020 wall calendar, I can tell you, Matt, has been absolutely useless up until this point. But August 30th has got some nice markers on it. Very, very excited about that day. Looking back then over the last couple of months of distance learning, what has been your own biggest learning?
I think for us, one thing we've learned throughout this is how capable our students have been, actually, in rising to a challenge. You know, nobody could have foreseen that come March the 5th, I think it was, that this is the direction we were going to be heading. And yet our students have really risen to the occasion, and particularly their self-management skills, for example, have been absolutely outstanding. And the creativity of teachers, I have to say. Our teachers have been amazing, and the way that they've managed to keep the learning going and yet keep it fun and put children's well-being at the forefront of what we do. They've been the big learnings for us, I think.
Matt, can I ask you a strange question? This comes off the back of a WhatsApp group chat. The class chats that you have. What would be a good, appreciated gift for a teacher at the end of term? Because I'm sure you've got mugs coming out of your ears. What do teachers actually really want as a token of thanks come the end of term, especially after a bit of a stressful year like this one?
Sure, yeah. Do you know, I think anything that's personal from a child, whether it's, their reflections on some funny moments that have happened through the year, or, like a word cloud of how they've seen their teacher, I think they're the things that are the most appreciated because they're personal.
Okay. And so we can get our kids to maybe put their tech skills to the test, make a movie for their teacher. Okay, great. Just curious. And if there's any teachers listening, please do let us know on 4001 what you would or indeed wouldn't like come the end of term from the class. So coming back to distance learning, I just wondered, Mr. Greenwood, do you think it's got easier or harder over the last few months?
I do think it's got easier. I think there's no getting past the fact that moving into this e-learning environment presented its challenges early on, particularly with the tech for students and for parents. Adapting to a whole different way of learning, where people's homes have become offices and people's homes have become classrooms. That whole period in the first few weeks definitely presented some challenges. So I'd say easier over time, and also there have been adaptations that schools have made, our agility, if you like, to adapt to new sets of circumstances, and that has meant that as we've surveyed parents and thought about how we can adapt the program to meet the needs of parents and our learners, I think gradually it's become easier over time. Yeah.
What have been some of the most common complaints or challenges that you've heard from pupils and parents when those surveys have come back?
I think the challenges have been around the amount of time spent on tech, for example, which is to some degree unavoidable. We've all been very aware of screen time for students and for young people, particularly probably in the last 5 years or so. And setting tasks for students, particularly young students, where that doesn't involve them being on screens for a long time, I think that would be one. And also, how much parents have been able to help their children at home, particularly if you're juggling both parents working, for example, if both parents are working full time from home, just being able to support their children when, it's a time when, particularly for the younger students, they really need that help and support. They aren't as independent as perhaps their older siblings or the older children in school. So I'd say, they've been the main challenges for parents.
And can I ask you, at Fair Green International, what are your plans for September? Have you got a plan in place in terms of classroom or distance or blended? What's happening?
Yeah. So schools have been asked by the KHDA to put plans into them so they can see what schools are planning to do. Our circumstances are that we're blessed with a lot of space here and some rooms which we can repurpose so that we hope we can have all our students back in full time and still maintain the kind of social distancing and the reduced capacity in classrooms that we've been asked for by the KHDA. So we're really looking forward to having all of our students back in, subject to approval by the KHDA.
My daughter's going into year one, and today was jump up day. So it was all the teachers in year one doing little introductions about what they, what hobbies they have and, kind of what they enjoy doing. And I'm so excited for them to get back. And we went for a little drive this morning and my daughter said, oh, that's the way we go to school. And she's like, I miss school. And I think we've kind of forgotten how much you as teachers miss those little faces. And yes, of course, you're seeing them on Zoom, but it's very different. I think everyone's really keen to get back to that, a closer dynamics as what we're used to. Mr. Greenwood, can I ask you, do you remember your own first day at secondary school?
Vaguely, yes. I have to say it was a very long time ago, so I'm stretching my memory a little bit there. But yes, I do actually. I do remember it quite well.
I had
great aspirations.
But it's a strange thing, isn't it? Because, as I said, you go from being this, literal big fish in a small pond to then being in what's often a physically bigger school with much bigger children. I remember starting, and I would have been 13 because we did first, middle and high school. And looking at, the 18-year-olds, there were boys with beards. they were men. And, you are just hugely intimidated by these giants around and increased workload and higher expectations. And I just wondered, can you tell us about some of the main differences in daily life in secondary school? What can parents and children anticipate when they make that move?
Yeah, I think, there are some things which are typical of all secondary schools. Children will move to having many more teachers, for example, so specialist teachers for each of their subjects. And students often feel challenged by the timetable, for example, by the physical space moving from one room to another. They get anxious about being late for lessons. And so there are some things that parents can do over the summer to help with some of those. Now, it's worth bearing in mind that there is perhaps an expectation from some parents that they will be independent when they hit secondary school, but we actually know from the research, from the brain research, the neuroscience, that the executive function isn't really fully developed until we're in our mid-20s. So it's a bit of an unrealistic expectation to think that children will be able to take this on, at the age of 11. So they will need more support with these tasks related to executive function, so planning ahead, organisation, those kinds of things. So over the summer, parents could be involving their children in, for example, looking forward to a trip. If you're lucky enough to take a trip this summer, getting your child to help with the packing so they can start to use those parts of the brain which are anticipating, right, what's coming up, I'm looking forward, what can I expect, and what will I need to pack for those eventualities.
And as I mentioned there, increased workload as well, that seems to be a big jump up. Well, speaking of neuroscience, what can happen to the brain over those summer holidays? Is there anything we can do to kind of curb the mushiness, perhaps?
Yes, a little, I think. I mean, the first thing I would say is that, related back to what we were talking about before, students have been on screens for a long time. And so taking a break from screens for a while, will be a relief for most parents, for sure. But also to keep some things going, as you allude to there, there is this documented backslide that happens over the summer break where, because children are not thinking in the same ways that we expect in schools, there is this kind of backwards, if you like, trajectory over the summer break. So I think keeping some things going, but presenting it in a fun way your children. So, for example, reading for pleasure, we know, is really important across all areas of the curriculum, but it's something that we would encourage our students to do without going into lots of comprehension exercises or anything very formal. But, for example, taking the children to the bookstore and giving them a choice of a new book to read, and then if they've chosen something that, Where's Wally, or something that perhaps you might not consider as appropriate for your 11-year-old, steering them towards a different section or giving them a choice between two books which have been recommended, just to keep that reading for pleasure going over the summer. And also the kind of incidental learning that can happen that I'm sure so many primary schools and secondary schools have been tapping into during e-learning. So, for example, the incidental maths that can be happening if you involve your child in doing some cooking at home. Those types of things will keep children engaged, but also we don't want to turn them off to learning by giving them anything too heavy over the summer break.
I know, and they all need a bit of a break. I think of speaking as a very poor teacher over the last couple of months, I think we all need a break as well. And I know you teachers have been working incredibly hard, so a little break of some description would be great. I just want to read a message we've just had in, Matt, from anonymous message on 4001, saying, "My son is starting secondary school this September and I'm dreading it. I've got lots of fears, including a couple of the not so nice kids will be in my son's new group. He's okay about it, looking forward to it, and in front of him I'm positive, but when he's not about, I'm crying. Do you have any tips for helping me as a parent? I'd be really grateful." And I think that actually speaks to the point that it's not just about the child's anxiety. Looking back then at our own first days at secondary school, it can bring happy memories, but for lots of parents it can be really triggering, and perhaps it was an unpleasant time. So how can we stop passing our own anxieties on to our children?
Yeah, it's a really good point. And I think your caller there is already part of the way there. Let's try not to pass those anxieties on to our children. Our own experiences of schools, however many years ago, are not going to be the same experiences that our children have at school. I think listening is really important, making sure that your child knows, look, I'm here if you do want to share these anxieties. We will make time to talk about this together. But it sounds like your caller there is very cognizant of not passing those anxieties on, because they are ours and we don't want our children to carry our baggage into these situations. I think also, reassuring yourself by having contact with the school, going through the materials, if you're invited to, virtual open days, for example, which we've been doing here at Fair Green, then being involved in those. Also, if you can make contact with other parents and putting things in place for your child, so in some ways can relieve some of your own anxiety. So if you know they're going to meet up with one of their friends because they're going to the same secondary school, they've got a plan to meet up on the first day, then you can begin to picture what that's going to look like for your child. I think in all of these situations, a little bit of information goes a long way, both for children and for parents. So if you kind of look at that information together and then can piece together what the travelling to school might look like, which entrance is your child going to use, what's the pickup at the end of the day look like, all of those kind of things, which sound small, but actually can help relieve a lot of anxiety for both parents and children.
Really good advice there. I think you're absolutely right. It's breaking it down, isn't it? My mum always says the stewing is worse than the doing, and sometimes it is a case of informing ourselves and making some educated choices and to put some plans in place as well. So really wishing you and your son all the very best for when school starts again. Matt Greenwood, Primary Principal at Fairgreen International School, thank you not only for sharing your advice this afternoon, but for all of your hard work as a teacher over the last few months. And I hope you get a lovely break over the summer, and I hope you get your class back in the room come August 30th. All the very best, and take care of yourself.
You've been listening to a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast. To enjoy lots more from Dubai Eye in the United Arab Emirates, just go to dubaieye1038.com or find them wherever you normally get your podcasts.